You can be a hero by going to thedadpodcast.com, clicking on one of the links on the right-hand side for just $24 a year, $2 a month, 50 cents an episode. You could change our lives. Or if you're like, I don't want to do that, tell one person, two, hell, three people about the show. Thanks and enjoy.
Listen to me, listen to my words as they vanish. Let's go chase the sun and get crazy, have some fun.
Welcome to the Dad Podcast. I am your host, Justin Warsh, and with me, as always, is the one, the only Paco Lancini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley.
That's right.
Happy post-Mother's Day show for everyone. Yeah. How was your Mother's Day, Paco?
Well, the Mother's Day itself was fine. It was combined with my anniversary, so it was a very overwhelming.
Did you feel like Luna was trying to steal the spotlight from you in celebrating your joint day? Is that what, or was it hard for you to relinquish it?
No. Here's what it is.
Much of your life about relinquishing.
I feel that both of those things are worth honoring and celebrating as separate things.
Okay. So do you like at 2 o'clock you switch?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. She goes from her back onto her knees at 2 o'clock.
Don't crush the chihuahua, everybody. Hashtag it. We're trending it. We're going to kill a dog.
It was basically, okay, I have a minor Mother's Day horror story. Not horror is way too far, but
Sounds good.
How was yours, sir?
Ours was fun. It's funny how, like I've said many times, that on Father's Day and Mother's Day, it seems that most often that we want to celebrate the thing that, by doing the thing that would not make us be celebrated. I'm very good at words.
By not doing the thing.
Yes. Like, we don't want to be a dad for Father's Day. We don't want to be a mom for Mother's Day. And I am currently writing to multiple congressmen as a representative on the subject to say that we should continue to have this shill of a day, but that the true holiday should be the Monday afterwards. We read a study on the Mother's Day episode that said that, you know, 41% or 49% of moms believe that Mother's Day should be a national holiday. I later learned it is a national holiday. It's just that you don't get off work because it's on a fucking Sunday. Right. So there's no need for it to even be.
It needs to be observed.
It needs to be like a Memorial Day of some kind. Yeah. Not to discredit what our troops have done, but it's, I guess what I'm saying, it's the same sacrifice. It is exactly the same.
Right.
So we did the usual. Here's what's great, because I have this new job. I don't know if you've heard. I have, I'm a part-time producer at KFI 640 AM, more stimulating talk radio. They don't do sweepers. They just talk. But
You'll change that.
I know, right? I'm going to come in there and I'm going to go, guys, I have an idea.
She's over it. I'm going to put my dick in it.
Right?
I mean, that's good. If you get that drop on the air, I will pay you $1,000.
Guys, this is classic stuff.
Asshole.
Come on. This is good. No, seriously. I've got a widget at home that just cranks this shit out all the time. Right. She's great. Yeah. What? I can't say shit? Why is everybody shutting down the doors? What's going on? Hey, boss, my key card doesn't work anymore. What the fuck? Am I right? I had to work on Saturday. It's very weird for me. I have a job that I have to show up to.
Yeah.
So
Luna didn't recognize you. She saw you in the driveway. She's like, who's that guy? He's wearing pants.
I'm going to have to post the pictures at facebook.com/dadpodcast because I have collared shirts.
Yeah, exactly.
I wear my jeans now for something besides doing stand up. And all the teachers at the preschool, that when I came in there, because I have polo shirts I purchased such an occasion. And they're like, what's going on? Like, is there a funeral? I'm wearing like a light blue polo.
Yeah.
But anyway, so long story short is that I think it was Saturday we went to go see the Avengers, and then we get out of the movie theater and it was like it's great. 1:30 or so. I'll be honest with you, because it's laughable. I cried multiple times in the Avengers. Oh my gosh. I don't think it's even it does spoil kind of a shocking thing. So anyway. But anybody who's seen it, I'm just going to say one more, family! And then it got me. But So anyway, we go to see that and we get out and it's like 1 o'clock and I had to be at work at 6, but for some reason I had gotten confused and thought I had to be there at 4.
Okay.
And so I had a moment of like, oh, I got 2 hours. I got 2 hours to get ready to go to work. And right, because, right, because I'm only part time, yes, what I'm learning about radio is that they are incredibly fucking cheap.
Yeah, so absolutely.
I work now for iHeartMedia, which is a huge corporation. And let me, yeah, let me first say this. I could already be doing something wrong by saying this sentence right here. I could be technically doing something that gets me fired. I don't know.
Yeah, I have a feeling you probably are.
Probably.
Probably so, almost everything that comes out of your mouth now could get you fired. But you start thinking Bill had it right.
Let me, yes, exactly. Let me just say, let me just say that I truly am so happy and thankful. Like, it's a weird thing. I was in the, I worked for almost 10 hours on Sunday, on Mother's Day, for, and I was there and I was watching things happen that I was like, oh my gosh, I wish I'd been doing this my entire life. It's just absolutely phenomenal. Yeah, from the technical, this is boring. I'm babbling. But here's my point is that we get out of the movie and I have this thing where I'm riding my bike to school. Well, that's the joke.
Oh my God. Yes.
I'm riding my bike to school and to my job in that.
Yes.
They don't have enough room in this huge parking garage to pay for me to park. And I was like, oh, well, I'll just pay for my own parking. Yeah. No, but I was there for an hour and a half. It was $10. Yeah,
exactly.
I'm getting $10 an hour for this bullshit job that I love funny. Very dearly. I'm very thankful to have. But anyway, so I go, well, it's only like a 20-minute bike ride, but I don't know if it's a 20-minute bike ride, so I have to ride. And so Natalie, of course, being my wife, wants to take a picture of me before I leave.
Oh, my God.
So I will post them
we
on Facebook.
To see that picture.
It's a picture of me in a button-up shirt. Casual, you know what I mean? Cash, but still a button-up.
Yeah.
You know, I'm Old Navying it up.
Sure.
And Julia Louis-Dreyfus would be very happy with my choices, I'm just saying. And so, and then I go and I give the kids hugs and kisses. I make my cup of coffee to put in my backpack. And I take advantage of the baby seat that we have on the back of my mountain bike to put my backpack in. And
I saw you leave on a bike the other day.
That's me that going to work, yes. And so I'm coming out, I ride around, and I look, and Natalie goes, have a good day, and I thought she, and I go to wave, and it's her fucking taking pictures of me riding my bike like a jackass with a DUI.
Right.
Like, that's happening. Awesome.
I have to tell you, this is so funny, because completely unrelated.
Yeah.
Luna and I were standing in our kitchen, and I'm going, what the fuck is he doing? And I was watching you load up a bike with a backpack, and I'm like, is there a kid with him? What's going on over there? I can't believe it was this historic moment, and I happen to be, well, I'm constantly, I mean, you wouldn't believe the number of times I innocently look up out my
window. No, I believe it.
And see you.
Let me just say, what will help your case is if you don't follow the urge to text me immediately following every said
moment. Oh, my God.
Moment.
I can't tell you. There are many times I've stayed my hand.
Natalie and I joked we're having lunch. I don't know if I'm ruining some. No aspect of your birthday is a surprise, correct?
There is no aspect.
Okay, great. Because this is very funny to me. And it's funny because.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Yeah, you can finish your story. So much to the extent that it's not a surprise is as follows. Who is the invitation from?
You.
It was. It's signed by my wife, but I wrote the whole damn thing.
Oh, you did?
It's full of jokes. What do you want, right?
Well, that's what I thought. It's very funny you say that.
Save the date for Adam Dooley's bar mitzvah is not a joke.
But what's great about what it is to be Adam is not only does he write his own Evite, but in the Evite, it also says that from his wife's perspective,
absolutely,
it says that, you know, Adam, he can't figure out what the hell he wants to do. And I was like, but all these things, this doesn't sound like. Let me read it to you. It's very
please.
there's so much to get into too. We don't have, but anyway,
we don't have time for this.
It says, "Dear friends, loved ones, and Tony," which I was like, "Oh, that's very funny." Tony is Adam's best friend, and so Adam has always been a pain in the ass, but this year he will become a 50-year-old pain in the ass, which to me sounded a lot like Luna. I was I was like, okay, and he'd like to celebrate it. True to his nature, he hasn't figured out exactly what he wants to do, only that he wants to be surrounded by good friends. Also, he wants someone else to cook. Which I was like, I still was there, but we'll let you know the final details soon, but you can join him for food, drinks, laughs, and maybe games. He's all over the place on this, I tell you. Now that's the part.
Right.
The I tell you and the parenthetical that I was like, I find it hard to believe that a woman who jokingly has been confused about opening a banana is cleverly using parentheticals and slang in yeah. text form.
Yes,
I tell
yes.
you. And I don't think I've ever heard the words "I tell you" come out come of your right. wife's. But right. but that's where I was like, I think Adam's writing this. No, he wouldn't do that. Right. That's how that all went down. But anyway. So to get back to, so I had to be gone most of Mother's Day. Mother's yes. Day morning, we did whatever Natalie wanted to do. It's a okay. constant. Anybody with toddlers knows. I don't know if it's the same with teenagers. I imagine it's not too far off. Is that it is a constant reminder of going, I'm sorry. Is today your day? Oh, no. Remember, it is Mother's Day. Are you a mother? So I was telling Jack over breakfast, he was like, I know what. Natalie made crepes for us. That's what she wanted to do. This is also a part of it.
Yeah.
This woman is so removed from the lifestyle that she wants to celebrate being a mother by pretending to be a mother.
Right, oh, my God. That's awesome. I'm shaking his hand. That's fantastic.
She wants to make breakfast. She's yeah. fucking playing house. I'm kidding. That's totally unfair.
Oh,
I love you, dear.
Oh, my God.
But yes. anyway, so we then, we're having breakfast, and Jack's like, I don't know. I go, listen, this is what your mom wants. And then Jacob yeah. finally said, he goes, well, when is Kids Day? And I said, you get your fucking birthday and Christmas. That's it.
Yeah.
I said, and then I go, if you want to be celebrated, you got to go shit out a couple kids who will hopefully act like they don't appreciate you, too, when you are our age.
Right.
So then we had to go on the walk, and then Jack is in this fucking mood where he just wants to ruin whatever's going on. He's like, let me just piss all over this.
Yes.
And so we're on the walk, and this is what reminded me of the text that Natalie got from Luna, is that we're on this walk, and we haven't even touched the sidewalk in front of our house.
Yes,
we've just
yes.
entered government property and left the sanctity of our home to
yes.
enjoy the beautiful Southern California weather. And he's already whining. And so I get in his face. I get in his face and go, listen to me. Your mother wants to go on a walk, and she wants to enjoy a walk for Mother's Day. So you will smile and you will put on a happy face and no more of this whining shit, or I will take you back in the house and I will find some way of torturing you
right.
until your mother and your brother come back from their walk. Is that what you want? And he kind of smiled because he knew I was kind of kidding. But but anyway, Luna sends a text message to Natalie later. I don't know. Maybe it was the next day or something like that.
Yeah.
Yes, it was the next day. Because Natalie followed protocol for this new initiative I'm creating. She took the Monday after Mother's Day off, and that was her day to do what she wanted to do.
Right.
Also, hilarious. Now, here's the thing. For the joke of it, I have to say it this way.
Yeah.
She decided to clean house most of the day, but that is because there is a much more balanced thing within our lifestyle. Like, she does,
okay.
once on her day off, she spends most of her day off without kids cleaning the house, much to my chagrin. I've offered. I said, I'll clean the house the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Let's you and I hang out, 50 Shades of Grey, hit DVD, everybody. Let's,
yeah.
Bang around, get a little afternoon delight. And that did not happen. So we cleaned house, and I helped her clean house and all that stuff. But Luna sent a text message saying that she said, hey, are you aware of this text message?
I know she sent something.
Okay. She said, hey, this party planning is crazy or whatever, something to that effect. I'm getting the gist from Natalie. She goes, what day off do you have this week? Because I could use some help.
So, I don't remember that.
I'm
anything
sorry,
about
Luna.
That.
I'm
no,
sorry.
That's funny.
It's funny. That's the only reason I wanted to bring it up, because Natalie goes, this is my only day off, and I'm getting stuff done. I'm sorry.
Right.
But she said, she told me what it said, and she was like, oh, I feel bad. I said, no, I go tell her if she needs something, I can help her out. I'm not working at all during the
right.
week. They only want me on the weekend, so it'll be fine. And so she goes, yes, I saw you with the boys. Enjoy your boys. So Natalie and I got a good quip. It's like, these fuckers and their binoculars. Are you kidding me? We got a good chuckle out of that.
So, well, yes, we are always creepily watching. Just assume when you step out of your house.
Well, here's the thing.
That I've got my nose pressed against the glass.
If it ever ends up that I am dead,
yes,
you know what I mean?
Right.
Then the only result is A, you weren't doing your job of watching, or B, you killed me.
Yes, well.
Those are the only two options.
On
and
that,
I'm putting this out for the internet to know.
On that subject, before
yes.
we get too far away from the other thing,
yeah.
which is quite a ways back now, I wanted to say regarding your new gig, that generally speaking, when friends of mine, and these are guys I've known since high school, or to Tony, I've known him 20 some odd years, so on and so forth. Usually when something happens, they get some, particularly if they're writers or have an interest, or even actors, whatever, some of the same interests I do, and they they achieve some sort of success in minor way, whatever it is. I smile and clap their hands and so on and so forth, but mostly I just hate them. And I have to say that this is the first time in my experience there's something different going on here, because I'm genuinely happy for your enjoyment. And you shouldn't call it boring when you're describing it. Your enthusiasm about it. I don't get to look at your face lit up like this very often.
Seriously, I said this to the program director. I've already sent them multiple emails. If anything, I'm going to get fired for being too much of a kiss-ass.
Excessive emails.
Yeah, because I'm so happy and so thankful for the opportunity. And everybody there is so cool. Even the a-holes are cool, and there were like at least 4 or 5 times in an 8-hour period that I was like, I can't believe I'm watching this happen. I can't believe I'm here. It's something as simple as the guy. So they do a segment, and then they throw to the news guy. That's the format. He gives the today's headlines or whatever story's going on, and then that goes to commercials, right? So I'm sitting there, and the board op has a pre-recorded segment with the host, and so he's there, and he's showing me how to run this freaking board that costs 2 times, maybe 10 times more than my car is worth.
Right.
And I'm just like, and I'm nerding out about the equipment. And then the host throws in a pre-recorded segment. He throws to the news guy. The news guy's not there. He goes, and he hits a button, holds down this button, hits another button and says, Mike, and then the guy starts talking. So he goes, and he lets go of the buttons. And they have, it's like freaking, like, it's Hogwarts at radio now. They have a 60-second delay. I thought it was only 7 seconds. They have a 60-second delay. So if somebody drops, says fuck, they hit a dump button, and it dumps 60 seconds. It goes dead. But to the listener, it goes, and then you come right back to it. And then it takes advantage of the small silences in between each of your words to rebuild that 60-second delay.
Wow.
So what he did was
they hadn't accounted for the fact that you don't have any silences between your words.
Exactly.
You're going to fuck up the whole
system. I'm going to break a delay. That's going to be my that's how I'm going to go down in radio history. No, that but then he hit a sneeze button, and he says it essentially pauses time with it, like they do fucking Star Trek stuff at this place.
Wow.
And I was just sitting there going, it's really stupid and simple, but I thought it was unbelievably cool. But
that
before
is cool.
I get too far down the rabbit hole, because I have tons of content here. Exactly.
By the way, the listener's eye have a, where you buy a square on the board, you're betting.
Yeah.
I can't remember, what is that called?
A pool?
A pool. That's it. The pool. We've got a pool going. Sorry. I fucked this up completely.
No.
When it is, it's going to go from this, I love them, it's perfect, to like you're dealing with your son's teacher.
Yes.
And you just come in here and scream about how much you hate everybody.
Well, I did sign a lot of paperwork that said I would not do that. So we'll see how long
the school might want to take a tip from KFI and get you... Yeah. Get you to sign some disclaimers before you enroll your child.
Because I also, the funny thing is, I said in the emails, I go, I'm sure it'll be no time before I'm super jaded, but right now, let's all just live in this happy place that I am in, because I think it's really important to show how much I appreciate, to say how much you appreciate people when they do something for you. And these guys have really given me a really awesome opportunity, and I hope that I am returning it in some way. But let's do some mail.
You've got mail.
What's this? A letter for me.
Keep those cards and letters coming.
So we had some fun Facebook comments. I put a nice message up at facebook.com/dadpodcast for the mom saying Happy Mother's Day. And this is what some of the moms said that they were doing. Food at my house is going to be awesome today, courtesy of a Weber grill and smoker. I'm not sure if that was a gift, but I'm assuming that Mr. Lacey is doing all of the cooking. Several of my friends, though, this is what I thought was interesting, have been gifted a Fitbit. There's a DQ Blizzard cake in my freezer. I win. And I just think that is awesome. Who has the balls to get their wife a Fitbit? I mean, even if it is kind of gadgety and that kind of stuff,
Well, listen,
I got a lot of guff for giving my wife pots 1 year for Mother's Day. And
because she wouldn't know what to do with them.
No, she does. That's unfair, but it's very funny. But it's more that it was you could tell our pots were way old and everything.
Yeah,
and I knew it's what she wanted. And we're also not big on gifts. You know what I mean?
Right.
But trust me, after that Ashley Madison story that we talked about earlier, I was constantly.
Is that why she had Monday off?
Yeah.
I was keep her under your thumb.
I was constantly.
I know what you're up to.
I put it in for her?
Yeah.
No, I was constantly checking in. I'm like, are you sure? But Jessica had this to say about Lacey's comment. OMG, Lacey, you are the winner. A Fitbit for Mother's Day is almost as bad as a vacuum. And we did the smoked pulled pork, spicy mac and cheese, Memphis style slaw, and 2 sauces yesterday for my husband's mother and aunt. Today is my day. Art project with the kids, and then he takes them to a movie while I get some time shopping alone. And Justin, thank you for bringing so much joy and humor and laughter into our lives that we want even more of you. you than 2 to 3 times a week. Hey, isn't that more than the sex we get according to some study you read?
Just to clarify where she says time for shopping alone, that's code for hookup with her Ashley Madison, lover.
Date. Yeah, exactly. We all know what's going on.
Right.
Justin said, filet mignon, garlic mashed taters, broccoli, maybe with cheesy sauce. I don't know what it is, but I like that's a sell. Donut breakfast with fancy coffee. No kid bath time with smelly stuff. Damn, it's good to be my wife. I love the online sex that Ashley and Justin are having through our public Facebook page.
Yes, yes.
Because then she immediately comments, "That's very true, baby. Don't forget the Snickers and movie and pictures of Kenny for my locket. You spoil me." So I said, I go, "All right, you two, get a bathroom for crying out loud." But I spelt load.
I just saw that.
Crying out load. See what I did? And then I said, "See what I did there?" Because we mostly have sex in a bathroom during the day. Damn, I'm good. Except for the load part.
No, Laura, the load is great.
I know. Laura says, "Teen One came home." I like, Laura always breaks down your kids like they're robots. Teen One came home from a date last night with a Mother's Day card for me. Teen Two came home from a birthday party last night with candy and a beautiful card. Me, did you read this before you bought it? T2, yes. Me, and you still bought it? T2 smile, yeah. Everyone's sleeping till noon today except hubby, who is cleaning house and menu planning. Can I bottle this moment? Thanks for all the laughs, Justin and Paco. Renee, I think, got hosed, though, on her Mother's Day. Uh-oh. She was the inspiration. If you haven't seen it on Facebook, please give us a call at 877-222-8323. Not now if you're listening live, but leave us a voicemail if you have a Mother's Day horror story. I would like to find out if you have any of those. But she says, "I still cook on this day. Was up till 2 a.m. baking, and the one thing my husband was responsible for, he messed up, LOL. Oh, well, still a great day with family and my boys." Now, I forgot to copy this, but what I did was I said, I sometimes serve as a marital priest.
Yes.
So I served him up with 15 plus minutes of what I called muff diving, for anybody who is unclear, to make penance for his horrible behavior.
Right.
Ashton also says, "Thanks, Justin. I spent the morning working on the yard with my hubby. Might not be ideal for some, but I loved working on a project with him. The payoff is an awesome-looking yard, a nice suntan, and quality time together. Homemade sushi for dinner. Fuck this guy.
Wow.
And a cocktail or two to close out the weekend. Happy Mother's Day, ladies." Lori from PA, she had the kids, I guess, were gone for the weekend.
Oh.
I don't know if she was by herself with their man or if it was just her, but I jokingly told her, "Well, what are you going to do? Raise a barn or, you know, do some kind of concrete situation?" Or no, I said aggregate, which only a joke if you're a weekend warrior. She said she's actually planting trees. I was like, Jesus Christ. And then we got some fun emails from CJ. Oh, I thought I had those already up. Oh, so much to do.
We need another screen.
Here's this one, or CJ's first. She said, "In my mind, I was standing up and applauding the response letter to the school giving the unexcused absence. That is brilliant. I opt my kid out of standardized testing." I didn't know that was a thing. There's quite a movement, right, to opt out of state and federal standardized testing. I think we should up the game. Not only opt out of standardized testing with a letter to the school authorities, but we should do vacation opt out, a large number of unexcused absences during those testing weeks. Hilarity. And then I don't remember. Here's the thing. When you send an email, and this isn't a criticism, CJ, but it's more of just a comment on my own intelligence. She sent a video from a clip from Austin Powers doing a 3-point turn, but I can't remember what that's in reference to. I don't know if you remember, but it's him in that kind of like industrial cart.
I know what it is.
Okay.
It's me trying to drive the golf cart on the lot at Warner Brothers.
That's probably what that is. And then Andrew sent in an email.
But I was funnier.
And this is not Butcher Drew. It says, "Hello, gentlemen. I've been listening to the show since my wife and I found out we were pregnant, basically since the reboot without Bill. So I had to share the series of events that happened tonight after cleaning up dishes and the three bathrooms. I sat down to relax before doing the bedtime routine. Here is a list of what I was asked for with a 5-minute stretch. And I've been trying so desperately. I need to just walk around with my memo on record."
Yeah.
Because I was trying to get the amount of times that my children say, "Mama, mom, mama," like in just a 30-second span to get her attention is but as soon as I hit record, they fucking stop.
Right.
So anyway, he says, "More veggie straws, 1 ounce of pretzels." I just like the idea that his toddlers are going, "I just need an ounce, father."
Right.
"Just 1 ounce. More veggie. And then it says, move veggie straws, fruit punch, Crystal Light, more pretzels, a handy snack, more Crystal Light, had to make a new pitcher, put my milk cup in the fridge. All done with my handy snack, ate two of eight breadsticks, cup of juice, and Jake and the Pirate cup. I like that. That's a thing with toddlers. I'll take the Lego Batman cup today, I think. Yeah.
Right.
I'm feeling like it has some kind of effect on the...
on the beverage.
Yeah, exactly. Put my Crystal Light cup on the table. By the way, these were the requests of my wife and 2-year-old son. That was very well written, Andrew, because I was trying to figure out which one it was. I hope the son said 1 ounce of pretzels, and I want the wife to want the things in the Jake and the Pirate cup.
Yes, I think that would be best.
Oh, well, at least I am not making different meals for everyone. Keep up the great shows. The ones with Jesse, Natalie, and Luna, and really all of the guests that you have. Take care, and thank you, Andrew. So those are fantastic emails. Now, this is a big trending thing that I started hearing about over the weekend while I was at KFI. And then I tried to find who put it on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
I believe it was Jonathan, so I'm sorry if I'm misquoting it. But women are lusting after dudes with dad bod. Fab.
Oh, yeah.
Flab is the new fab. No need to lose the beer belly, fellas. Women are lusting after dudes with dad bods, a little extra gut around the middle. It shows you love life, but also have the good sense to not let yourself completely go.
Says Mary
Dugo. I love this. A 26-year-old marketing manager from the Upper East Side. You can take them to family parties and eat cake together.
What the hell is going on?
Ladies love guys who put the focus on fun, not physique, saying they're friendly. I just feel like this is like a bunch of us got together and created an Illuminati-esque organization.
Yes.
To get this out there.
Yeah, right.
They're more mature and less narcissistic. See, now that I get. To me, I feel like the less narcissistic part would be appealing to ladies. Is that was my whole thing with the whole metrosexual. I just feel like you don't want to bond with your husband over eyebrow tweezing. I just don't.
Right.
It's not the way it's supposed to. Here's how it's supposed to go down. You're supposed to take 45 minutes to get together. I'm supposed to take 10 minutes to get ready, mostly because you have laid out clothes for me that are suitable and you know match in color, because I do not. That's how it's. And then I'm supposed to be annoyed by how you're taking all this time to look pretty and remind you stupidly of things like, I don't care what you look like anymore. I'm married to you. That's how it's supposed to go.
See, it's funny you said that, because everything's the opposite at my house or whatever. We were getting dressed for...
Tucker's in the house shaving his head. I'm not ready!
We were getting dressed for our anniversary dinner, and she had a very lovely blouse on that I'd never seen before, and it was sort of almost... it was peach or flesh-colored, whatever. Mm-hmm. And she had wanted me to wear a particular new shirt that she chose for me. She was in charge of that color. Mine was black and blue, and she's wearing peach. I'm like... Any picture we take is going to look horrible. Now I have a perfectly good shirt that's going to go. It's going to go with your peach. You can wear that if I just wear this other shirt, and then our photos will look nice.
I love the AARP Sadie Hawkins dance you created on your anniversary.
In the end, I said, right,
but you wore black and blue.
I did. I said,
as it should be.
I said, you have to look at me. What would you like to see me in?
Yes, it is her day. It is
well.
Her
by
day.
Then, it was our day. But yes,
I just like that. I like everything about it.
All right, sorry.
Honey,
go on.
Let me just. I have opinions. It's always like the guy, my friend did this when he was getting married. He wanted to weigh in on the wedding dress, which I'm a guy who's pretty involved, but draw a line. Lady loves guys who put the focus. I'm sorry. I already read that. The love is spreading across the country and even the world, with women as far away as Scandinavia cherishing the chub. What they had on the photo of this article is Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. My first thought was, I'm like, unfair. Because not all of us dad bods. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think we all look like Leonardo DiCaprio. But in our defense, he had a humongous, like, ZZ Top-esque beard.
Oh, did he?
And there was no six-packageness at all to him. No definition in his biceps.
Here's the thing. He's still Leonardo DiCaprio.
The 20 million plus.
He can have my physique.
Yes.
And he would still be more attractive than I am, for any number of reasons.
Let's see. Looking too fit can come across as self-centered, said Doth Lodberg, 22, from Denmark. I like that they all these chicks are 22. And
wait,
guys,
what's the name? Doth?
Doth, or I'm assuming Doth Lodberg could also be it. I don't. D-O-T-H? I've never been to Denmark. D-O-T-H-E.
Okay. O-T-H-E. Yeah, Doth.
It probably. Could be Dot, actually.
Or, yeah.
I don't know. I only know.
Maybe it's their version of Dorothy?
IKEA furniture. I'm going to call her Ektorp Lodberg because that's the kind of couch I have. You look at the people on Men's Health and they all have 13-pack abs, says Alan, a 37-year-old corporate banker from Inwood. The fact that society is starting to find normal physique sexy is a good thing. I don't know. If I'm the guy, though, that looks good, I wonder how I feel about this. I feel like if I'm the guy who has, like, say you're the fat kid who turned your body around and now all of a sudden you're just, like, rocking it. Yeah. And then now it's going back to the way you were. I would just be throwing my weightlifting gloves like, fuck this! After everything, I got surgery to remove stretch marks because all the fat I lost. You motherfuckers!
Right.
Oh, Jesus. But I don't. But don't call dad bod a trend. Men have been letting themselves go since the dawn of time.
Listen, I just want to go on record.
You were an early adopter.
I was an early adopter. I was a pioneer in this field.
We're fucking this article makes us trendsetters.
Yes.
Is what this does. But the topic entered the zeitgeist last week when 19-year-old Clemson University sophomore Mackenzie Pearson wrote a pro dad bod piece in her college magazine. Listen, guys.
After masturbating furiously to a picture of Leonardo DiCaprio.
That's what I'm saying.
With a gut on.
This is bad news bears. This is our retaliation to your Ashley Madison Mother's Day bullshit, ladies. Yes. We're going out and we're going to sorority parties.
I'll tell you what's more. Hang on a second.
Yeah.
You're tapping into something that just pisses me off in general anyway. Okay, look. I don't walk. Oh, okay. So there's this whole thing. This is a big thing with Luna too. Is the perfect female image that put out all the time with the airbrushing and everything is, and this thin hips and the big lips and everything else, and how then Luna or other women or whomever is then made to feel insufficient or substandard because
as it should be.
Yeah,
I'm picking up what you're putting down. Yes, you're saying
the exact opposite.
Tighten it up, ladies. I get it.
We don't
want you to look 40. I understand. Keep going.
Be yourself. Do your thing. And what difference does it make? Well, that's because that's the image they're giving. But I've seen pictures of Mel Gibson and tons of guys for years, and I don't go, oh, no, about me. I go, look, this is what I am. You get what you get.
Yeah.
And so now, never mind. I lost it.
I see what you're saying. You're saying that now we don't have the body image issues due to media exposure.
Yes.
Like
and
ladies
I don't,
do.
And I don't understand why the women do. And then also furthermore, why they then blame the media for that issue rather than looking inside, honey. Because that's where the issue is.
No, here's the thing. I think that so much of what women do to dress themselves up, whether we like to admit it or not, I'm not even going to go fucking monkeys because it's not a good example. We're all birds. You understand?
Okay.
Now it's like Renaissance period with birds. Back in the day, the men dressed a lot more fancy and stuff, and they flounded around
peacock.
Like peacock. Yeah, exactly. And so I think that what they're doing is, whether they're aware of it or not, they're schnazzing things up. But I think guys, here's the reality of it. I think the majority of people, like, the only reason this is a story, it's not true. I don't buy for a second that every 26-year-old girl out there is like, you know what? I'm interested in a guy who's not quite in shape. That's my niche.
Yes.
What I think is real is that what she's kind of reacting to is that, sure, I think the majority of women would like a guy with at least some definition in the biceps, you know, some bigger shoulders, you know, those kind of primordial type things.
Yeah.
But they don't necessarily need to have six-pack abs. I don't think that that's a prerequisite. I think, and it gets into it later on in the article, that it is more about it is more of like a self-confidence thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that what they're really picking up on is that it's somehow being hypnotized into thinking that these guys having a less than perfect bod is that they're confident in their own skin. But my point is to go back to the women is I think that guys like us, like I'm a big fan of a chick without makeup and a ponytail rocking some yoga pants. Like I am like that
yeah,
is
yeah, as you've indicated.
If there was a website dedicated to having sex with those women on the internet, I would give you my $40 a month and make that happen. Because here's the reality too is that the number one most commonly searched term in internet porn is MILF. So this idea that we all want 22-year-old chicks, I think is not true. I think it's a perception and not a reality. That's my opinion. But here's what she says. In her, into this thing that she was shared 452,000 times, she called the dad bod a nice balance between a beer gut and working out. To Pearson, the man with the dad bod goes to the gym, but he also pigs out on pizza. He drinks protein shakes, but isn't about above a platter of wings. His mere physical presence suggests cuddling and unpretentiousness. Since writing her piece, men have thanked her for helping them feel less insecure about their less than buff bods. Nope, they just want to fuck her. That's all that is. Guys are flattered, Pearson said. They weren't ashamed of this body type, but now they have a reason to be proud of it. Someone young and female has said that this is what I'm looking for. And
that's I take back everything I said. Apparently, there are men as shallow and useless as women. If they're letting this dumb herd.
No, that's not what they're doing.
If they're going. Well, I know you're
they're reaching out to her on the internet, going, "If this is what you're into, I'm just saying, hey, thank you." Because they're doing that wounded warrior. Like,
is that
like,
what that is? All right, cancer. I'm sorry.
Listen, I've been really down in the dumps, and I really want to thank you for giving me this opportunity. To feel good about myself. And here's my number or my Twitter handle if you want to DM me. And then I can, I got a buddy, we could DP you, is what I'm saying. New York Magazine took the movement one step further last week when it created a hypothetical diet for men wanting to look this schlubby. Orange Gatorade, Clif Bars, and Trader Joe's frozen burritos all made the cut. Some think the movement is both sexist. It's like the male equivalent of being a MILF and old. That's bullshit. After all, gay men have fetishized bears for years. But the main problem with the dad bod is maintaining it when you're a real dad. The dad with dad bod is working to keep up. Keep it just at dad bod level, said Brett Stinger, 44, a writer on the Upper East Side. Once you've got kids, if you want to wear some pants as wear the same pants as when you were 20, you're going to have to hit the gym. So, and I kind of agree with that guy. It's all fucking genetics, but let's move on. Let's see. Is this what I wanted to talk about? There was another story in here. Yeah, fuck it. We'll just go through this order I made. Six things men hate about other men. And I thought this was really... Guys, if we asked you what you hate about other men, you probably wouldn't answer. You'd think it was some lame social experiment to prove that men are cattier than women. But don't sweat it. Someone on Reddit.com just asked that question and got a ton of answers. Once guys started talking about how men are annoying, they couldn't stop. Here are six of our favorite answers. And I think agree with all of these. Number six was, I hate that a lot of them can grow a full beard without childish visible patches. Now, I honestly don't hate it, but it is this kind of, it's a mixture of a little bit of self-loathing that it's fuck, it takes me 8 years to grow a beard. Right. My dad can do it in a half a minute, you know?
Yes.
Dudes who can't fend for themselves when it comes to domestic duties. Learn how to cook a couple meals, clean a toilet, and turn on a vacuum. I really do. That kind of, that weirds me out, but not in the same insecure way as the beard way. I just feel like, but I also, I'm not, that's all I feel
I could
about
give
that.
A shit if another guy knows how to do stuff around the house.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I want my sons to know.
Right.
But I don't care if your sons know.
I guess, well, here's the thing. It doesn't just limit it to things around the house. Like, I also want my kids to know how to change oil. I want them to know how to shoot a gun. Now I sound like a weird, I don't know what the word is for male feminist, but that's what I'm going to say I am. Because I'm,
we'll
I,
have
you know
to
what
come
I mean?
Up with one.
It sounds like I'm a fan of gender androgyny or something like that. That word hasn't hit the calendar yet. I made that up. That's why. I hate guys that are so judgmental about how attractive women look, yet they themselves are ugly. Hey, heads up, Reddit.com. We're not ugly anymore. We have dad bods, so go fuck yourself. When guys comment on girls' Facebook pics with idiotic, oh, this drives me up a damn wall. Crap like, wow, sexy, and hey, beautiful, and other things that reek of desperation. Like, oh my God, that is, I don't know why that bothers me. I know it's got to be something wrong with me internally, but I hate all of that. You know, like the trend of like, you know, it's the selfie thing where you post a picture of yourself and then now it's you put it up there so everybody could talk about how good you look. You know what
so
I mean?
What would you say when you see the pretty picture?
I don't say anything. I'm just
okay. I'm going to suggest the fact that you're mad at them.
I tell them that you're pretty mediocre.
You're mad at them, these commenters, because they are at least commenting.
Oh.
And that they have, even with their stupidity, they're willing to say something.
Yeah.
As opposed to just going.
Well, it just seems insincere. Like, it seems like it's probably part of the reason why I don't like the idea of, you know, like a birthday gift or something like for myself.
Note to self, Justin doesn't like the idea of birthday gifts.
Well, I'm just saying, I don't hate them. It's not like I don't appreciate them. Right. But just, there's something off-putting about it being a convention to do something nice for someone. Right. Like, something nice should just be in the moment. It shouldn't be a forced situation.
That sounds like a guy who's forgotten birthdays and doesn't want to have to be bothered.
No, that's the thing. I don't admonish them. I don't.
I'm not saying that you are. I'm just saying you sound like that.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
I hate the guys who drink and try to fight everybody, including their own friends. I do hate those people. I hate all those douches. Like, that's what I mean. You know what I like? Yeah. I want my kids to be the masculine guy who teaches fucking jujitsu at your neighborhood jujitsu, taekwondo, mixed martial arts, and now Zumba workout place.
Yeah.
I want that guy. I want that. You know how they always just walk around with this kind of calm, quiet self-confidence, and they can throw back a few and have a good time and all that stuff, but they're not going to try and kick anybody's ass. You need to understand how to kill a person in order to feel self-confident, I think.
Gotcha.
Where you're not a douche.
But you shouldn't feel like you need to kill
a person. Well, because you know how to. It doesn't, you know what I mean? Was that it? Did I miss number one? Yeah, I missed number one. Who the F is ripping out their pubic hair and scattering it all over urinals across America? That is a big one. That is a big one that bothers me. I don't understand. My favorite two are the ones that are like, I can understand the ones that fall into the, but ladies, let you in on a little secret. Sometimes you will occasionally find one on the upper areas of the wall or on top of the urinal that it's like, and it does seem like an odd, like, treasure hunt or something. Yes, here's the clue you're looking for. Like, when there's a toilet or whatever right there.
When there's somebody else's pube at your mouth level.
Yeah.
It's a little disturbing.
And for the longest time, I was desensitized to this because my father is so hairy that there was just body hair everywhere in my life. He's been our family dog for well over 50 years now. This is one. We've read lots of stories about this, and I think this is horse shit, but this requires some sad music for this story here. Here's the headline. Buckle up, gentlemen. It's going to get crazy. Oh, I like Butcher Drew just said, dudes with earbuds or Bluetooth in public places. I don't like the Bluetooth, but the earbuds, I'm that guy. But you know what I mean? Because I want to listen to music, or I don't fucking want to look at other people or have them talk to me.
Now, hang on a second. I'm sorry.
All right,
now,
go ahead.
Now get involved. Okay, you can get back to music in a second.
No, what's up?
But I do that. But
have the Bluetooth?
I have a Bluetooth, but I'm listening to a podcast. So how's that any different than
your
music?
You have a Bluetooth headset that plays a podcast? Like that douchey headset thing?
I have the little douchey earbud.
The one that makes you look like a jackass. But we're talking about the one that extends so it's like on a mic, so you look like just a fucking moron on a telemarketer.
No.
Or the one that just goes 2 inches past your... Yeah, that little one that makes you feel like you're a Wall Street broker. You don't have that one, right?
I do.
I'm totally kidding.
Fucker! I listen to my podcast.
Butcher Drew thinks you're an asshole.
Well, he should know.
All right, let's get back to this. Here's the headline.
Talk about the pot calling.
That's true,
yeah.
This will interrupt, but...
Asshole.
Oh, look at that. I found a new effect.
Asshole,
if you loop that...
Asshole.
Oh, my God. This is the best thing ever.
She's over it. I want to put my dick in it. She's over it. I want to put my dick in it.
Asshole.
Oh, man. That was fun for me.
Okay, back to the music.
Having more sex won't make you happier. It might make you sadder. So, fellas, now would be the time to burn your iPod if your wives listen to this show. Great news, your mediocre sex life is good for you. A new study out of Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh just found that having more sex does not make you happier, even though we all thought that was true. They found that couples that have more sex are actually slightly less happy than couples that get it on less often. Here's why. When people have lots of sex, it becomes part of their routine, so they don't enjoy it as much. Fuck these people. That's what I say to that. And sometimes feel like they're just doing it out of obligation.
That is a
we
woman.
We all should be so lucky.
A woman wrote that. I promise you.
It's somebody with a feminism major at Carnegie Mellon.
Yeah.
The obligation. When you do it less frequently, it means a lot more. The researchers say, quote, instead of focusing on increasing sexual frequency to the levels they experience at the beginning of a relationship, work on creating an environment that sparks their desire and makes the sex they do have even more fun. They do have even more fun is what it's saying. And I don't. Here's the thing. I am not a guy who has too little sex, in my opinion. I think it's been expressed that I am well under the national average on the monthly basis. But listen, I've had sex twice in the last 3 days. That happened.
Oh, turn it down.
Hey, you remember what I said when my friends tell me about good things that happen to them?
You're happy?
Yeah, that's not the case any longer. I fucking hate you.
For me, though, we both have the thing of, here's what I think, my theory. Yeah. When you have younger kids, you can't put too much pressure on your sex life. Somebody called me flash fucker. I don't know what that means. but I like it. I'm married with two kids. I buy the 12-pack of condoms, one for January, one for February.
Oh, my God, Adam. That was brilliant. I'm so proud to have you share a surname with you. Whatever it is we share.
I don't know why I'm a flash fucker. I flash is on Tuesday nights, or maybe it's because he's making fun. I don't know, Jack.
Yeah.
But anyway, here's the point. But I think if you have younger kids, then it makes sense for you to not have sex that often because they suck out so much of your... My father's
Hang
even...
On, they suck out so much of your what?
I'm sorry? Your kids aren't incorporated in your sex life?
No.
How is it that is something that you misunderstand? Let me put it. I am the inappropriate one.
Well, no, you're the one who said it. You just stopped right at the critical point.
You spun it. All right. But here's the point. When you have little kids... You don't have sex as often because they suck so much energy out of you.
Thank you.
And by energy, I do mean your seat. No, they zap you. My father, when he was here, he's like, you know, when your mom and I go home and after being here for a week, they love hanging out with the kids, but they forget how much the little kids are just constantly in your face and needing things, you know? I would imagine, I don't know, I can't see into the future, but once they become teenagers, then the only real obstacle is that, I mean, I'm sure someone with your plowing prowess, Paco, that the concern becomes more about the auditory senses or oral as well as oral.
Yes.
Senses in that you have to make sure you have to be like a ninja with the moaning and groaning and concern for the animals in the bed. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
But once they're out of the house, I mean, here's what I plan. I plan when my children move out, especially once they're married. Like if they're still in school and there's a chance that things could get bad and I have to pretend to be okay with them moving back into my house.
Yeah.
Then once they're gone, it's going to be just like an opium den in my house. It's going to be just the Age of Aquarius. Age of Aquarius. And it's just going to be playing on a loop while we're just fucking mainlining any kind of drug and junk food and just fucking in every room of the house. It's going to be awesome.
I think I know what's going to be playing on a loop.
The asshole or?
No, the other one.
She's over it. I want to put my dick in it.
Yeah, she is. This is one for you, Paco. Buckle up. Dogs will become too expensive in the future and we'll have to buy robo-pets. Here's some seriously bad news for lovers of man's best friend. A leading animal welfare researcher has claimed that the rise in global population will lead to real animals becoming the reserve of the extremely wealthy, meaning that the rest of us will turn to robot dogs for companionship. My problem with that is robot dogs don't fucking die, but you don't have to feed them, so I don't know.
I would be all for a robot dog because it's not going to bark.
Yeah.
It's not going to chew on anything it shouldn't.
But see, here's the thing. This is what's screwed up about us is that we look to create these things that make our lives horrible. Like, so you can't just have marriage. A robot dog that just sits there. You're right. There's marriage. We come up with all these conventions that make things a little bit not perfect.
No, the idea of a robot dog is ridiculous.
But we wouldn't make it just quiet and just something that fetches our slippers for us or, you know what I mean? We would make it to where it have to make noise. There has to be some kind of mimicking reality. I'm sure it would be a function we could turn off, but that's what I think it would have to be.
Here's the beauty of the robot dog, at least for me, is that I could squeeze the life out of it and not face any jail time.
Oh.
I can actually kill it.
There's a movie being made right now as we speak, I'm sure, about whether or not these dogs now have the same rights as real dogs. You know what I mean?
They're
it's going to be AI all over again. Pinocchio, and he says, pet robotics has come a long way from the Tamagotchi craze of the mid-90s. In Japan, people are becoming so attached to their robot dogs that they hold funerals for them when the circuits die. Wait, did I miss something in this article where it says that they actually die? That's pretty cool if they have like some kind of random ticking time bomb.
A blue, if they go blue screen.
Yeah, I would like it if to buy a dog for, because these dogs are going to be like $8,000.
Yeah,
and I
yeah,
just
exactly.
like that, you know, in the program is like, I'm sorry, he's got that intestine twisting disease.
That's funny.
We had to put him down.
Who's surprised that it's already happening in Japan?
I know, right?
Yeah, right.
They don't have real love for real things.
And they don't have room for real animals.
That's true. Well, the ones I saw, they had a video, and I'll put it up on the Facebook page if I remember, to be honest. But they have like these, they look, they're like a stack of them, and it looks like the opening scene of RoboCop almost, where it's like, these yeah. are bad news. guys, whatever that company that I can't pull right now is from Terminator. It's a real thing. Oh, Skynet yeah, right. is real. Skynet is real. They're starting as dogs, not Austrian bodybuilders, everybody. But that it sits there, and then creepily one of them just randomly comes to life and starts trotting through the office.
Yeah,
and one of the fun things about the video, the reason I want to post it, is that it's running through the office, I guess being summoned by somebody.
Yeah.
And randomly they just kick it to demonstrate how you can push it and it still stays up on its feet.
Oh my God.
But under the, and I think it's just to say, look at what we've done in robotics. We could send these things wherever into places men can't go.
Yeah.
But what it looks like from this standpoint is like, guys, if we get robot dogs, we could kick them again, everybody. It's going to be like the early 1900s all over
right,
again.
Right.
Everybody can be a redneck and beat their dog like they want. Here's something that I thought was horrible because of my situation at the zoo recently. We gotta get out of here. I got too much show.
Oh, my God.
So anyway, and this is also from the mesh pelts. I'm probably saying that wrong area. Yeah. Oregon Senate votes to permit sunscreen in schools. I don't know why this is a problem, but I also don't like it. It says state senators say Oregon children should be allowed to apply sunscreen or wear hats outdoors, while they're at school. The Senate voted unanimously Monday to tell schools that sunscreen is not a medication and its use cannot be prohibited. The bill's proponents say schools allow only specific over-the-counter drugs on their campuses and sunscreen is not on the list. They say children who are conscientious enough to protect themselves from the sun should have the right to do so. The bill also would require that schools allow students to wear sun protective hats and clothing as long as the garments are not inappropriate. The measure, this big dick on my bill of my hat, is protecting my sensitive corneas.
Yes.
The measure returns to the House, which approved it unanimously in March, but must sign off on changes made in the Senate. In other news, Oregon is officially out of problems, everybody.
Hooray!
Everybody's super smart in Oregon, and they are 10,000 times, like the rest of the country, better.
They do
California.
Make a, there's a slight error in there when they say that they're if the kids are conscientious enough to want to protect themselves, what it really is if those children have a raging bitch of a mother who has beaten them into submission because no child willingly puts on sunscreen in any way, shape, or form.
I'm going to have to fly through this, but I wanted to say it because it's something that just came out today, and it's really fucking weird. The scary new Facebook game that's worrying parents. Teens are playing a disappearing act on their parents with a new and nefarious social media challenge called The Game of 72. Have you heard of this?
I haven't. I'm already terrified.
Yes, you should be. Which dares teens to disappear and have absolutely no contact with their parents for 12, 24, or 72 hours, NECN reports.
Wow.
The game, which has inspired the hashtag, it says hashtag Game of 72, originated in France when a 13-year-old girl named Emma disappeared for 3 days. When she was found, she wouldn't tell authorities where she went, but only said she had played the game of 72. The game has now slowly
crept. She probably said it in French, though.
Yeah.
She was from New Jersey.
No, everybody speaks English better than we do. I'm just playing a game of 72. That's how she said it. Michael Caine. All accents are Michael Caine to me. Parts of England. So it spread into England and the United States. The game of 72 starts when someone receives a private message on social media asking them to play the game. The person who receives the message then has to completely disappear, both online and offline, for, in most cases, 3 straight days.
Wow. So that's phone. It's
yes.
all
you're gonna
social
go off
media.
The grid,
off the grid.
Yep, and leave your parents. That's the part that
who,
I don't
who
understand.
Who do you get the message from? It's a private message. But.
Yeah, it's like a chain letter dare. It's like the
okay.
ring. So you see the little girl climb out of the
all
well,
right.
and you're going to be dead in 24 hours. But this is, you get a message, and I don't. This is so stupid. Like, how is it that we live in a world of internet porn and TV? Need to go fucking disappear.
I don't know, but I can tell you this right now.
Yes.
We could shut this down in a minute if everybody listening to my voice and everybody not listening to my voice agrees to do one thing during that 12, 24, or 72-hour period.
What's that?
Leave.
Like change of locks?
Yeah. No, just you gone. They
you
come
go
back
off the grid
12,
too.
24, 72, and the house is empty.
Yes. now you're thinking of the dark side over
yeah.
here.
Put up a sign, you know. Sold.
I don't know how serious you are about this, but your words were like gospel to me. That's what just happened. You would be like, haha, remember when I talked about doing that? If my kid ever did this shit, you would be damn sure I would be fucking gone.
Yeah.
During the second day, the house would be painted a different color.
Yeah. Chad disappeared for 3 hours about 10 days ago, and we lost our
shit. He's not committed to the game.
No.
Now, here's what's crazy is that, as you might imagine, this game hasn't gone over well with local authorities and parents. After all, there's an average of 90,000 people missing in the United States at any time. This new challenge would only add to the burden of authorities. It is beyond foolish, Constable Brian Montague told the Huffington Post, British Columbia. Each year, we have between 3,000 to 4,000 missing persons cases in Vancouver alone. This would add to the already overburdened workload of our officers, not to mention all the grief and torment it would cause parents. Expert Jesse Miller of Mediated Reality, a media safety organization, told the Vancouver Province that parents should monitor their child's social media habits to make sure their teens aren't participating in this new fad. The game is not unlike a Facebook challenge in France last year called To the Water or a Restaurant. What the fuck is going on with these kids? Where social media users were challenged to either pay for someone's meal or throw themselves into a river, according to the Huffington Post. The challenge caused the death of one teen who drowned after she jumped into the river, Huffington Post reported. And then there was the cinnamon challenge, where youngsters were dared to swallow scoops of cinnamon. The challenge left some teens sick, poisoned, and even with collapsed lungs, according to the New York Times. He also says parents should look at, now this is what the reason why I wanted to bring this up. I don't like bringing up dark stories.
Yeah.
But I think it's something that, I don't know. I don't have teenagers, but I was shocked when my and this isn't a criticism. Again, right.
Meanwhile, I'm trying to find the joke in the drowned girl.
There is no joke.
How can I work this angle?
Yeah, no, please don't. Let's let it lie. Oh, poor choice of words.
Let it float.
Yes. There we go. We nailed it. So I was shocked that when my sister-in-law, and I don't know what the thing will be, it's because I'm younger, but like my brother and sister-in-law, like they were talking about what their kids were doing on Facebook and that they had really no idea how to even get on it themselves.
Right.
And to me, I was like, I don't know. I feel like, and I don't know. I don't have teens. I know that there's a thing where you're supposed to give them their privacy, but, and I'm not the guy who thinks everything is out to get your kid. I mean,
yeah. Here's the thing, people.
Part of me thinks that the kid has to be dumb enough to do this.
You need to have this. Again, I'm not sure I'm in any place to tell anybody how to do anything anymore. But here's the thing: is that if they want to hide something, they'll be able to hide something. And so you need to create a relationship, and you need to build a foundation for them, so that you know that they'll make good decisions. That's ultimately why I let Diego go off on prom night, because I knew he would make good decisions for him.
Right. And so the experts that they talked to said that, you know, you need to be aware of how these social media things work. Chandra Johnson talked to experts who said it's important for parents to use social media alongside their children so that teens feel comfortable talking to their parents about the problems they run into online. You have to walk the road with them. It's like putting the oxygen mask on yourself first, parenting blogger Kay Wima told The National. If they're telling me about their day, I'll ask them how something made them feel.
I have another way to solve the problem.
Yeah.
Remember I was saying just go away, you know, when they disappear, they just move, relocate, you're off. Anytime that something is interesting to children and then it gets adopted by adults, it's immediately not something any kids want to do. So we should all just start disappearing for several hours, several days at a time.
That's what we do. We fucking game a 7-2 to their ass before they can get us.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, that is highly illegal. Damn it. Oh, my gosh. Somebody in the chat room said Facebook equals Satan's window. Now, what I like about that, or I think they also translated whatever she said, La Joue de Soixante Douze.
Oh, great.
That's, I think I said that I,
yes.
I game of 72. But anyway, what was I? Oh, I like the idea. In my mind, I like to think that Jack is really that passionate that he thinks that, you know, Mark Zuckerberg is some descendant of Satan. I like that idea in my head. So let's lighten things up as we close out here. I got some fun. Now, I try to find some stories that make you feel better about the wife that you have chosen. Not that you are in any way. I'm not trying to say that everybody's constantly in a state of going, did I make the right choice? I'm just saying, much like, you know, if you go to a Walmart at 2 a.m., you just feel stronger about your life choices.
Right.
So I try to find some crazy bitches that make you go, you know what, this one, top notch.
Yeah.
In this situation, this is something for the ladies.
Okay.
A guy gets a lifetime ban from an airline for flashing his Pinocchio tattoo where his junk is the nose. As far as D-bag tattoos go, this one is pretty clever, but there's a time and place to show it off, and this wasn't it. 22-year-old Tom Washington of Grimsby, England, fucking Brits, has a tattoo of Pinocchio on his groin so that his junk stands in for Pinocchio's growing and shrinking nose. Pretty good, right? But Tom was on a flight from England to Spain last Friday with 22 of his friends, holy shit, and he decided that would be a good place to show it. They were being rowdy in general and had all dressed up as female flight attendants, so you can imagine how they were acting. But Tom flashing his Pinocchio tattoo in front of the other passengers and the real flight attendants took things too far. The airline banned him for life. He says that they overreacted, and everyone on the plane thought it was funny. Quote, there were even some old men on the plane, and they were laughing.
Now, I have a question about the tattoo. I know there's no photo accompanying that.
There ought to be the tattoo.
There really ought to be, but I'm trying to figure this out, just picturing it in my head. In that tattoo, in the place that he has it, and so on and so forth, does Pinocchio have a giant afro or like a mustache?
Yeah.
Or what's going on?
He's got that, you know, that soccer player from Mexico that has the Wolfman face?
Yeah.
Pinocchio's got some plumage
like,
and shoes.
Oh, man, I can't.
They said you could do a Google search for this. I'm not going to put it on the Facebook page, but they said that there is a quasi-safe for work picture that you could see the top of it.
Wow.
Now, this is one that I love.
The top of the tattoo, not the top of his dick.
The reason I also like this story is because I think that, A, it kind of makes me feel like I wish my wife was this passionate about our own intimate times.
Yes.
And that maybe this was the genesis of the study that said if you had more sex, you could be less happy. It says a woman beats up her boyfriend when he won't have sex in a burrito joint. Man, I wish I could find a woman who got this turned on by cheap burritos and filthy bathrooms. 26-year-old Stephanie Miller of Midlothian, Illinois, good job, Midwest, was out drinking a few weeks ago with her boyfriend, Matthew Slattery. But she got kicked out of a bar when she got too belligerent. So they went across the street to a Mexican place called El Burrito Loco. Very well named, to have some food and sober up. But when they got there, Stephanie asked Matthew to take her to the bathroom, started stripping once they were inside, and told him she wanted to have sex right there. He said no and started peeing. I was all for this guy until that moment.
Oh,
and she
God.
Was so mad that he turned her down, she slammed his head into the wall, and she was arrested for domestic battery.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, there's so many things about that. First of all, I don't think I would, you know, ever be able to have intercourse in a bathroom as dirty as the one I'm picturing. And I'm not sure I could ever eat a burrito that they made in the Midwest. Something being this close to authentic over here.
No, Mexicans are everywhere. You can get good Mexican food everywhere now.
Yeah, you probably get Thai food there. You can get,
Food is good everywhere.
Okay.
Let's see. He says, it's the biggest I've ever seen, Pinocchio's nose. Says Jack. Jack's nailing it every day with his chat comments.
Yeah, yeah.
So remember that movie, what was it, that James Franco played the guy who got stuck while hiking and had to cut off his own
172
arm?
127 hours.
Yeah. So I want to see them turn this story into a movie, and I think we all would enjoy it. Not only for our just existence in the parental lifestyle, but I think it would just be a fun follow-up. If there ever was a sequel that could be made to that movie, this could be it. 29-year-old Susan O'Brien of Wellington, New Zealand, was running in a race on Sunday morning. It went through a forest, and at some point, she went off the trail and got lost. Like, really lost. So I think she was clearly cheating, and it came back to bite her in the ass. She realized that she was stuck in the middle of a forest with no way to call for help, so she went into survival mode. She dug a hole and covered herself with dirt to stay warm, and she drank her own breast milk to survive. It took rescue crews about 24 hours to find her. And so at that point, she was on a 3-hour feeding cycle, eating every hour and a half, taking a nap. No, I'm kidding. But she managed to make it through the cold night in the forest thanks to the dirt and the milk. After she was rescued, she immediately breastfed her 8-month-old daughter, and now she's recovering. Probably just for the purge, you know, for the ladies that need to get the, you know how you carry it around. Greg Fitzsimmons, comedian, has a very funny story about him and his wife finally had a night out, but she forgot the pump at home.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was in the car that they valeted or something like that. And
So
he said, I need your help. She goes, you have to come with me to the bathroom. And so he's like, they kind of sneak into the bathroom. He's like, and he kind of thinks they're going to have sex. Sexy time. He's like, but why are we, this is too much for me.
Right.
Much like guy at the burrito joint.
Yeah.
And she goes, no, I need you to suck the breast milk out of me because my boobs are killing me. And so he had to do it. It was a matter of life or death.
Yes. It can be quite painful.
Did you ever partake in the sweet sustenance of one Luna?
I may have tasted the...
Out of curiosity.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Never a meal.
Right. Well, keep both your hands on the desk while
What's
I talk
up?
About it.
All right, hands up. Doing the clap like the demon?
I certainly tasted it, but not from the source.
Yeah. I think I did a little bit of both. Not, I didn't feed or anything like that, but I had my curiosity.
Yeah,
if
like
you
a
would.
Vampire.
Yes, exactly. I want to suck your titties. Right. But I'll never forget my friend was like, he goes, so you're going to, when Natalie was pregnant, you know, he was like, so are you going to try the breast milk? And I was like, yeah, why wouldn't I? As long as it's not like something that if I bring it up to her, she's like, no, get the fuck away from me, you weirdo.
Right.
It's not like I'm going to feel like I lived a less fulfilled life.
Yes.
I didn't.
Yeah, right, right.
Listen, I'm up for anything.
I somehow picture you, realizing you're out of, 2% and just putting it on your cornflakes.
I did. She would not let me. I wanted just for personal use. I wanted to have a video of her hooked up to the breast pump while it was pumping and have her like very stoically and unhappily going, moo.
would have made $1 million on that.
She would not let me. I didn't want to post it. I just thought it'd be funny to be able to watch every now and then. But I'll never forget. What I did, though, was that after she pumped it, I tasted it at various levels of, like, you know how it can go stale after, I think it's like 6 hours or something, if I remember correctly. So I waited for some to go stale, and I tried it so that I would know what sour breast milk would taste like.
Yes.
And it for anybody who's curious, it just tastes like cardboard. That's what I thought was weird about it. But Natalie had eaten a lot of cardboard that day, so that could be it now that I think about it and say it out loud. But my friend saw me do this taste test, and he goes, and he at first he was kind of curious and not aroused, but interested. And then when he saw me do it, he goes, oh, my God. Like, he almost threw up in my dining room. But
dry heaving.
Oh, I'm bad on Jay. Now he's calling me a pervert. Whatever, dude. I think that's it. I think we did everything. We gotta get out of there. I felt like a fun show.
It was great. Great.
I'm killing trees with paper now. We're printing stories. It's just gonna get better. It's gonna get better and better and better. It's Tuesday, so I'm flummoxed. Because I don't know what I got to end with, but we don't have anything to end with, right?
No, I don't have a moment of the week anyway.
Yeah, so we're not going to do moment of the week.
I will say, just to touch on it as a very last Mother's Day type roundup, the Saturday before, Luna and I spent the entire day bitterly fighting with one another.
To set yourself up for the good times?
Oh, my God. We ended up at the movie theater. Both the boys bailed on us. We went anyway to what's the one that everyone is seeing that you saw?
Avengers.
Yes, that's what you said. And we were fighting bitterly on the way in to the point at which I walked out before it even started. It was time to get
the movie. Like you're sitting in the theater
sitting
and you're just
the
going, fuck it, I'm out of here.
Yeah, that's it. Because we were arguing about it. I don't need to go into the details, but she kept using the phrase crazy to describe my behavior. And I was asking several times, please just find another way to put that. And the third time, I just said, that's it. I'm not going to.
And she stayed and watched the movie?
Well, she was going to, and I left, and then I sort of came back, and I was going to make sure because she had the car keys. I couldn't have the keys. So
that's why. Go fuck yourself.
So I went
popcorn.
I went back in to get the key to let her know that she should just drive herself home. That I wasn't going to come back and get her. And then I went, this is all so stupid. And as I was coming in, she was leaving. So we ended up just going home together. But it was just nonstop fighting. Yes.
I wish I could have been in that movie theater like you watched My House. I wish that would have been the showing that me and my family went to, because I would have had the most fun awkwardly trying to bring that up, like seeing you. Did you see Avengers? Like,
right. No? And I'm carrying popcorn and a soda. I mean, it's a whole thing. I've got the whole thing. And
just like, was it enough where at least the people within a 2-foot radius knew what was going on?
I'm not sure. We were pretty quiet about it, but
I like that you come in already mid fight and sit down, and they get the context of stop fucking calling me crazy. That's all I'm saying. Well, you're being fucking crazy.
Well, no,
I was
leaning in close and being quiet, and the act of leaning in close and being quiet made me seem.
Oh my gosh, why is somebody calling me?
all the crazier to her, I think.
Sorry.
When I'm going, no, just the way you admonish the kids. Yeah. It was like that sort of thing. I think I was freaking her out when I was trying to be. I was trying to be okay in
public. It seemed condescending to her.
It just seemed frightening and
crazy.
I was in her face. I was literally in her face, but just so I wouldn't have to. raise my voice to be heard. But during all of that, I'm trying to write greeting cards and make reservations and do all the things for the next day. I'm assuming that by the time the sun rises, I won't want to kill her anymore and we'll want to be ready to celebrate all of it.
That didn't help anything at all?
No, it didn't. It didn't help me feel better to have to you know, have loving ideas.
All right. Well, then that was fun. Wrap it
sorry,
up.
Yeah, there you go.
And this is a perfect song for us to close out in. Don't forget, you could send us an email to show@thedadpodcast.com, like us at facebook.com/dadpodcast. You could leave us voicemails if you want to call in, tell us about your Mother's Day horror story. The number is 877-222-8323. If you'd like to listen live, the URL is in the description of this episode. It is mixlr.com/dadpodcast. We will be recording again and rejoining you this Friday at 7 p.m. We're going to be joined by author. I don't know if it was like a blog and a Twitter account, but it's Calm the Fuck Down.
Oh.
His book is out. He's going to be joining us.
David
Viena is going to be in studio for that fantastic show. And Paco is going to tell you about our fantastic Amazon banner in a funny voice.
Well, I guess I am going to do that. I hadn't planned on it. I was going to do something else, but then you said funny voice, so here's what you're going to do, people. I learned a new phrase, and you're going to love this phrase. It's called click-through. You're going to click through the Amazon banner at our website, and it can take you to Amazon. Bookmark it once you get there. Every time you go back, boom, boom, boom. It's going to bring you right back to Amazon, and when you buy stuff, it's going to help us out.
Every voice is funny, so never change that. All right, on behalf of Paco Lancini and his crazy-ass alter ego, Adam Tooley, this is Just the Worship. Stay frosty, everybody.
You really think you're in control? Well, I think you're crazy. I think you're crazy. I think you're crazy. Just like me. My hero had the heart to lose the life I want to live. And all I remember is thinking, I want to be like them. Mm-hmm. Ever since I was little, it looked like fun.